preach for us this morning. Pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, Hot Springs, Spring Creek area. Pastor where Sandra went to church growing up, and where Margaret and where her daughter that comes here all the time. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing him to be here. I held a funeral with him recently at his church and up at the graveside. Actually, it was down at the church. The Lord said he needs to come preach for us. And so God ordered him here, and we are so honored to have him. I know it's hard to leave your home church. He did that this morning, and we appreciate him. Brother Warren, come preach to us. We're going to listen attentively, pray for you as you preach.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate getting to be with you today. I can't say that I'm not nervous. I am quite nervous, but we want to try to do our best to follow the Lord and follow that he's laid upon our hearts today. And we'll be looking in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Appreciate the opportunity to get to be with you. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, we'd just like to read maybe about three verses. And as I think about thinking about coming to be with you here on homecoming day, I think about this, that how my experience that on homecoming day, and I don't want you to get the wrong impression, that there's a lot of folks that come for that service that never come for any other service. It might be that they're living in a different place and this is home, but I'm concerned that a lot of folks are not that dedicated to God as they should be. And special occasions and special services bring out people that maybe a regular Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night doesn't. And I want to look at this scripture in Matthew 13 and think about what being a child of God and being in the kingdom of God, what it looks like and what effect that it has on us. Matthew 13, verse number 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And another parable spake unto them, he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. I believe that we could see in these two parables how that the being in the kingdom of God takes over a person's life. That being in the kingdom of God, It just overpowers everything that we are, everything that we were. It takes over our lives. And you know, Brother Henderson was talking this morning in the Sunday school that he had a concern that a lot of folks were not changed. They said that they were saved, and as he said, I'm not the judge, but I would say this, that here is something for us to judge with. Here's something for us to judge by. Here's something for us to look at. And I believe that we could say this, that the Lord gives us a picture that I could lay my life down beside it, and I could see, am I in the kingdom of God? Am I a child of God? Is my life, and you know, this 13th chapter of Matthew, one of my favorites in all of the Bible, because it's, you know, for me, a picture is worth a thousand words, isn't it? You've heard that maybe from the time you were just a child in elementary school. But you know what we have here? We have picture after picture after picture of what a child of God looks like and what effect that being a child of God has on the life. So I want to just sort of walk down through these verses and let us look at it. And I want to think like this: God, let me look at this scripture and let me put myself in this scripture and let me measure myself. And you know, I don't really need Roy to judge me or you to judge me, but I need to take the Word of God and let the Word of God judge me and see where I stand according to the Bible. Now, you might argue and you might say, well, now, you're not going to shake me. I'm not here to shake you. I'm not here to make you question. I want to let the Word of God search our heart and our lives and see if we measure up to what God says being in the kingdom of God is. So I believe we could say this. I hope we would all be in agreement that whether I call it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, I believe that we could say this, that really what Jesus is saying is he's saying this is what happens when Christ is the ruler and the reigner in your life. If I'm in the kingdom of God, then Jesus Christ is the ruler and the reigner in my life. He is the one that is in control. He is the one that reigns over me. You know, when I got saved, I got a Lord. I not only got a Savior, but I got a Master. I got a Lord. I got a boss. I got someone to lead me, someone to guide me, someone that gave me direction, someone that told me what to do. You know, we live in a world today, people don't want anybody to tell them what to do. And it starts when they're about this tall, doesn't it? And it continues on. But I want to say this, if you come into the kingdom of God, if you become a child of God, and the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, according to the Bible. It's according like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, when I think about this, and I think about the whole of Matthew 13, then the Word of God is that seed, right? The Word of God is the seed, and the man, that could be me or that could be you, but it's a personal thing. And friend, as I take the Word of God, the Bible said that he took that seed and he sowed it in his field. So that word, to take, it means to take hold of. So that man took hold of the Word of God and he sowed it in his field. So where would that be? I believe that that Word of God must be sown in a man's heart. According to what Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter number 2, he says this, that we are born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, isn't it wonderful how God puts it all together and it fits just right, and I can't be mistaken about what the seed really is. He says, but being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the man took this grain of mustard seed and he took it and he took hold of it, and friend, he took that and he sowed it in his field. Friend, the heart of this man was took as the Word of God came to this man. He took hold of that. And again, Mr. Henderson said in the Sunday school, I don't believe that we can just do that on our own. I believe that it takes the Holy Spirit of God. It takes the power of God working in my heart, the power of God to draw me. It takes the convincing and the convicting power of God for me to ever really believe the Word of God. The Word of God, I tell you this, folks, that in the carnal mind, we'll never believe it. It takes God convincing us. This man took hold of the Word of God. Listen to this. I want to just try to stay with the book. The kingdom of heaven, the rule and reign of Christ, is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and he sowed in his field. which indeed is the least of all seeds. Now, you know, I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, now, why does he call it the least of the seeds? Well, in this day and hour, the mustard seed very well could have been, in that day, in that time, the smallest of all seeds that were known unto people in that day. But I want to think about it in a personal sense. How does that apply to me? I think this, that all of the other religions that are in the world, a friend, that you know what there's in there. In all of those, there is a part for me to do. That man wants to have a part in his salvation. Man wants to be able to do this and do better and do this and get to the place. I'll tell you what we think. We want to get to where we're deserving. This is the least of all seeds. This is a total dependence upon the work of Jesus Christ. I'm not belittling that, and I don't mean it in that way. I mean that it leaves you and I out of the equation. That this seed is a seed that God Almighty plants in a man's heart, and it doesn't look like there's anything to it. Our world today says, why in the world would you put your faith in a man that died on the cross? That was the plan of God. That's not my thinking. You see, it leaves me out. And friend, this is the least of all seeds. And friend, I'll tell you what it becomes. It becomes the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. It becomes the greatest thing that has ever been done. It is the greatest thing, and it is rolled over every kingdom that ever has been or ever will. The salvation of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing, and listen to me, it is a seed that is alive. He talks over in John, and he said, you take a corn of wheat. Now, what in the world, a corn of wheat? He's talking about inside the seed. Inside the seed, there is what we call a heart, right? And as that seed is planted in the ground, the outside of that seed deteriorates. The outside of that seed dries up. It the moisture begins to rot it, and it goes away. And out of what is on the inside of that comes something brand new. Friend, what happened with this man? This man took a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of all. He planted it in his field. He planted it in his heart. He took hold of that, and it didn't look like much. But I'll tell you what happened. Friend, it began to get rid of the old man. It began to deteriorate. I'm talking about the outside. You just consider you and I. Just think about you, that you're a grain of corn. Friend, I'm a grain of corn. But when the Word of God comes by and I begin to yield my life unto God, friend, this outside man begins to go away. And that is on the inside begins to come forth. Friend, there's something brand new comes out of that. You mean you take that little grain of corn and it's all swiveled up, and it doesn't look like anything, and you put it in the ground, and unbeknown to you and to I, how that it happens, we don't know. But night and day goes by, and God Almighty brings out of that something that's brand new, that's glorious, that's alive, and something that is of value. So, he took this grain of mustard, planted it in his field, which is indeed the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, I want to ask you today, all of us, are we growing? Is what God, let's say it like this, is what we say God planted in our heart growing? Is what we say, I say that I'm a child of God. Preacher, I say that I'm saved. I've been born again. Well, let me ask you this. Is it growing? Is that has been planted in your heart, is it growing? I don't know how it is here, but I believe we're all cut out of the same mold. Where I pastor, you know what we have? We have multitudes of people that show up on homecoming day, and friend, they've not been there for a year before, and it's not that they live 100 miles away, they live a half a mile away. They live just around the bend, and friend, what they come is they came for a social gathering. They didn't come because God was growing in their heart, and I want us to think today and look at this. Is this what salvation really looks like? I'll tell you what salvation and being in the kingdom of God looks like. It looks like the Lord planted something in a man and a woman's heart, and it begins to grow. It begins to get greater and larger and more and more. And you know what it's doing? I tell you what it's becoming. It's becoming a tree according to the Bible. A friend that he planted there, it begins to become a tree. Now just think about this, that here you are and you've got a little flower pot and you're expecting a little bush to grow up about so high and maybe about this big around, and it just keeps growing and it keeps growing, and before long it's outgrowing the pot. You know what'll happen? Friend, it'll begin to push the roots outside of the pot. If it's got any of those little holes down at the bottom of the pot, it won't be long. You'll see the roots growing outside of the pot. What is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of God growing in men and women's heart. Will it grow outside the pot? Let me ask you this, what kind of effect is the Word of God and being saved and being a child of God, what kind of effect is it having in the outside man? Now listen to what the book says. And when it is grown, preacher, I'm saved, but I've not grown. According to the book, you're not saved. Because what God planted is going to grow. What God plants, God don't plant dead stuff. God does not plant. Jesus Christ, you know what they did? They took the Lamb of God and put him in a tomb, and they thought he was going to stay there, and on the third day, he bloomed and got up. You can't keep the Lord down. You can't, if they couldn't keep him in a tomb, how in the world can he live in men and women's heart and we keep him in there all the time? Now how can that be? I want you to take the little word picture and I want you to lay your life down beside it and let's see if we're really, genuinely, honestly saved. I know people don't like for you to dig. You know, you might dig around and you, preacher, now I've had some plants, you know. I got a plant in my dining room right now. I had it in a little pot about so big, probably had it there for 2 years. And it just kept a growing and growing. And I took it out of that pot. And I mean all the roots were just wound around that pot. For me to make that grow more, I had to tear those roots apart. If you and I are going to grow in the kingdom of God, every now and then the Lord's going to come by. He's going to tear up our little playhouse. And friend, he wants us to grow. God wants to take over in our lives. God doesn't want, I've said this before, I would say it again today. How many of you have got little boys and little girls and they're the same size today that they were a year ago? They're the same size today they were 3 years ago. Are you worried about that? Are you concerned about that? You ought to be. I believe you are. I don't believe that you're for a moment. A friend, if 6 months went by, even 6 weeks went by, and they weren't growing, that you wouldn't take them to the doctor and say, Doc, would you dig into this and see what's wrong? People don't want you to dig into their lives. I'm not digging in your life. This digs in our lives. This exposes us for what we are. This is what I can lay my life down beside, and I can see if I'm in or out of the kingdom of God. So the Bible says that he took that, and he sowed it in his field, and it was the least of all seeds, but as it groweth, it become the greatest among herbs. Now, what do we use herbs for? Well, I think about this, that we use herbs sometimes for aroma. We use herbs for medicinal purposes. We use herbs to flavor our food. We use herbs because of their value that they put into that we're eating. Let me ask you this. Has the Word of God become a herb in your life? Has it become a sweet smelling savor? Has it become influential? I mean, could you do this? Could I take a salt shaker? And you might say, preacher, that's not a herb. Maybe that's a spice. But can you see this? I could take a salt shaker and I could make a tomato from something that's all right to something that's wonderful, couldn't I? I could take a salt shaker and maybe take a pepper shaker and I could make that much more palatable. I tell you what's going on. God is working in my heart and in your heart. If we're growing and he's growing in us, he's making us more palatable to those that we're around. He's making us to where we can be useful. Friend, I tell you what we could do. We could take some of these herbs and we can take them into our body. And friend, what it happens in our body by those herbs being put in it, it has a great effect upon us. I mean, we're living in a world and we're living in a part of the country today, a friend, that is wound up on natural foods, natural healing, a friend, all of these things. Well, let me tell you this, the Lord is too. And friend, I tell you what he's interested in. He's interested in his word, the Holy Ghost of God moving in a man's heart and taking over. Listen to what the book says. The book says, it became the greatest among herbs. So there was nothing more aromatic. There was nothing more medicinal. There was nothing that made things any more savory than this. Can you see that? Can you see that God wants to do that in our lives to help us? And that we, in turn, can help others. How many of you know people that says they're Christians and they're continually miserable? How many of you know people that says they're Christians and they're continually, day after day and year after year, living in sin? How many people do you know that says they're saved and you have never seen any spiritual growth in their life? Is that what this looks like? And becometh a tree, the least seed. And you know, he's talking about a mustard seed. And you and I might think about mustard, we might think about it being an annual. But this is not an annual, this is a perennial. This is something that you plant. You know, I have some annuals around my house, and I try to do that every year around some flower pots and set that out. But you know what my main interest is? My main interest is to plant some things that'll come back year after year after year. Friend, what God planted in this man's heart, he didn't have to go back and replant it and recap it and rededicate it. Friend, are you saying, preacher, that we live perfect? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this. When God plants something in a man in a woman's heart, friend, you ain't going to have to start it over. You're not going to have to get recapped. And friend, the result of it is, if God Almighty moves in your heart and moves into your life, friend, it'll take over the garden. Now imagine that we've got a little plot and it's 10 by 10. And we've got lettuce, and we've got a couple of tomato plants, and we've got a few onions, and we've got three or four stalks of corn, and we've got all of that in here, and we planted this mustard seed in the middle. And friend, this mustard seed, it's beginning to grow, and it's grown into the greatest herb in the garden. And friend, it went from being the greatest herb in the garden to being a tree. I mean, it has taken over my garden. What in the world are you talking about? I'm telling you that what God plants in a man and a woman's heart will take over your whole life. I see couples sitting here. When you got married, did she take over your garden, this garden in here, your heart? Did he take over your heart? Did you put all the others aside and you gave all your devotion to that one? The couple that sang here, 50-something years they've been together. Do you reckon that 50-something years that they're together, do you reckon that that person took over the place in their heart? Now this is what he says, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man took hold of the word of God, planted it down in his heart, and it began to grow, and it began to take over more and more of this man's life. First, it became the greatest herb. It was the greatest thing in his life of savor and aroma and the influence. And he looked unto God for that. And then it became a tree. A friend, and I believe you could read it over in the book of Daniel when Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And Nebuchadnezzar dreamed that he was a tree. And friend, he dreamed this great tree and all the birds of the air and the beasts of the field were all lodging under this tree. And lodging in this tree and were fed and sustained by this tree. Let me ask you, friend, is that the way it is with God in your life? Is He sustaining you? Do you rest in Him? Is He your safety? Is He that you look to? Is He that you talk with Him about? And listen, the Bible says, and the fowls of the air and so that the birds of the air came and lodge. You know what they're doing? They're living there. Where are they living? They're living in the tree that started out as a seed and grew into an herb and became a tree and took over the garden of a man's heart. I live there. I have my being there. I'm sustained there. I find the shelter and the shadow there. Daniel said that about the beasts of the fields that are under the shadow of this tree. I wonder today, where do we go? Where do we run when there's trouble? Where do we go when there's problems? Where do we look to? Who do we look to? Friend, are we looking to the things of the world? Are we looking to the church? Are we looking for a handout? I want to say today, friend, that the fowls of the air, does the fowls of the air, I realize we've got a pile of birds on welfare today because of our own doings. Friend, we're constantly handing out, but let me tell you this, that God Almighty will provide for them whether you do or you don't. And for those that are saved, God Almighty will be the sustenance of their life. That's what real salvation looks like. It takes over your life. Is that what I've got? Do I have something that is continually growing and it's taking over my life? If you've got real salvation, you do. If you don't have real salvation, you can go on and do as you always done. You can talk like you've always talked. You can be away from the church and away from the family of God and it doesn't bother you. There's nothing there to bother you. I want to say this. If I wasn't in church this morning, I believe that God would condemn my heart that I wasn't in His house today. I believe that when Wednesday night comes, friend, if I'm not in the house of God, that there would be condemnation there. Friend, that I'm not where I ought to be. I've been in a revival all last week and friend, planning to be there tonight. And you know what? I want to be there. I've got a desire to be there. God has taken over my garden and taken over my field, and the Lord is what sustains me. I would that we could all say that. Let's look at the next little parable. So here's a man Here's agriculture. Here's a woman. Here's some household things. You know what? Why did he do this? Maybe the woman never had been in the field. She'd been in the kitchen, though. She'd fixed bread. The Lord has got it to where I can understand it. The Lord has fixed it to where I'm without excuse. The Lord has drawn me a picture that I can understand. Whether it's in the first few verses of chapter 13 or the middle of chapter 13 or the end of, he's going to talk to people that are fishermen. He's going to talk to those that are dragging in the net. He's going to talk to those, a friend that sow seed. He's going to talk to a woman who is baking bread. I tell you what God's doing. He's drawing us some pictures that we can lay our life down beside it and see if we are in the kingdom of God. And if you are, if you're in the kingdom of God, you ought to rejoice that this is the kind of life that you've got. That God is taking over your life. So let's look at this woman. So the Bible says, it's like the kingdom of heaven. Another parable he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So I want to think about this a minute. The woman takes leaven and she hides it in 3 measures of meal. So we've got 2 items here. We've got something here called leaven and we've got meal. I believe we all know what meal is. Maybe we do. So I want to think like this, that what is going to have an effect on this here is going to have to come from an outside source. If I'm going to take this meal, if we're going to take 5 pounds of meal and it's plain, not self-rising, it's plain meal, if it's plain flour, friend, we're going to take a little pack of yeast and we're going to take that pack of yeast and all we're going to have to do is get a little bit of moisture, and friend, that yeast is going to come alive and it's going to have an effect on what's in the bowl. And friend, this woman took that leaven. Now listen, I wrote this down. You bear with me. So leaven, a group of living organisms that permeate with an altering effect or transforming effect, slow, silent change that is complete and irreversible. Can we get unleavened? You can't unleaven that bowl. You can't unleaven that meal. You can't undo that. Preacher, now I got saved. I may be out of the will of God. You can't do it. Can I get out of the will of God? Absolutely. David, a man after God's own heart, got out of the will of God. But David did not remain there. David, when the word of God came to David, I'll tell you what he did. He repented, and friend, his heart got right with God. And I would say this, the woman hid that leaven in 3 measures of meal. She didn't hide it in 3 measures of wheat. She didn't hide it in 3 measures, friend, of corn. She hid it in 3 measures of meal. Now, what has to happen to meal for meal to become meal? Well, first it begins as corn, right? And friend, it's run through the grinder. It's run through the wheel. Friend, it's run through there and it's crushed. And friend, the husk falls off of it and it becomes meal. If you and I are going to be permeated and penetrated and altered by God Almighty, it'll be because we've got a broken heart and a broken and a contrite spirit. There's a pile of folks in my community that's come to the altar, went to the baptizing hole, and they're not any different today than they were when they come to start with. They come and they had no conviction. They weren't broken over their sin. They're still living in their sin. But I'll tell you, this woman took 3 measures of meal and she hid the leaven on the inside of the... You know what the meal is? The meal is dead. The meal is dead. What made the meal alive? The leaven. That living organism that was put into the meal, you know what it is? It's another picture of the same thing. That man that took that seed and planted it in his field, this woman took the leaven and put it in the meal. And friend, before you know it, it began to rise. It began to move. It began to have a different effect. It began to look different. It began, I'll tell you what, you could smell it. Oh, friend, you could see it. Have you ever done that? Maybe you've made Amish bread or made sourdough bread, friend, and you took that and you mixed it up, and friend, you went by an hour later, and friend, it was that much higher than the bowl. I tell you what that is. That's God Almighty working in men and women's hearts. That's what being saved really looks like. Look at it with me. She took leaven, a group of living organisms that permeate, that goes throughout. Preacher, I'm saved, but Sunday morning from 10 to 12 is enough for me. That ain't what this says. This says that it took over the man's field. This says that it leavened the whole batch of meal. This says that it took over their life. This says that when Christ moves into men and women's heart, a friend, He's not a Sunday morning God. He's not a Saturday night God. He's not a Wednesday night God. He's a God that moves into a man and a woman's heart. And friend, I tell you what He is. He's God 24/7, 366 days a year. He's Almighty God in a man's heart. Is that the kind of Savior and salvation we've got? Just lay your life down beside this Word and let the Word measure you. She hid it in three measures of meal, which a woman took. She got hold of it. And I could say this, that it got a hold of me. The Word of God, through and by the Spirit, it got a hold of me. But she took hold of it. As it took hold of her, she took hold of that. And the Bible said that she took it and she hid it. You know, you can't see this. You couldn't see when she hid that three measures of meal. She took that and she, maybe, I don't know how she did it, but let's say that she took that and she put it in the bowl and she took a spoon or a fork and she stirred it up and she got it throughout all of it. We need some moisture, don't we? If this is going to work, we need some moisture. We need some water of the Word. We need some water of the Word of God to be mixed with this that God is planting in my heart. And friend, is that mixed? You know what's going on? Friend, according to the Bible, she hid it in that bowl in the three measures till the whole was leavened. It wasn't long, friend, it wasn't long till that leaven took over everything that was in the bowl. Everything that was in the bowl, though it didn't look like there was anything going on, as time went on, it began to rise. It began, you know what it means? It means to boil up. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but I've made Amish bread or sourdough bread. You know what? You'll walk by it. And it'll begin to raise up. And in a minute it'll get thin and it'll... That was on the inside had to escape. Does that ever happen in your life? That God gets so big and He's taken over so great, a friend, that is having such a part of your life, that friend, it begins to run, it might run out in laughter. It might run out in tears. It might run out when you fall down here in the altar. It might run out, but I tell you what's going to happen. It's going to take over in somewhere. It's going to boil over. That's what leaven means. It means to boil up. So, how big is God? How big is our God? I mean the God that created the earth, The God that spoke it all into existence, the God that so loved man that he slew his only begotten son, that God lives in a man and a woman's heart, and there's no effect. He doesn't come out. You know what I think? I think that you're bigger than your God. If he never comes out, then you must be bigger than the God that you say lives inside of you. Now you just chew on that a minute. If Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and the Holy Ghost lives in my heart, and he's growing, you know what John said? John said, I must decrease and he must increase. If Jesus Christ is growing in a man and a woman's heart, don't you reckon every now and then that he'll come out? Don't you reckon that every now and then he'll begin to have a greater and greater place? Do you reckon in that little 10 by 10 garden, when that become a tree, you reckon it rooted out the lettuce? You reckon it took over the onions? You reckon it got rid of the corn? You reckon that it began to gather all of the nutrients? I'll tell you what it began to do. It took over the garden. And it took over this bowl of meal. What's he really talking about? He's talking about Christ living in a man and woman's heart. He's talking about us being saved. He's talking about the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you. That's the picture. That's the spiritual picture. We're seeing the natural picture, but it's got a spiritual meaning, right? So, she took that and she hid it in the meal till the whole was leavened. So, this change, this transformation. Roy, do you have any folks that you can recall through the years that turned over a new leaf? Do you know any folks that said they were going to do better? Do you know any people that started coming to church and they were going to get right? Let me tell you that you can't do it. The Bible says, can the leopard change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Neither can you change your life. You are unable. I've seen people come in revival. I've seen them come in jubilee. I've seen them come. You know what they're going to do? They're going to do better. They're going to do better. January 1 will come, and you've seen it 100 times. You've seen them. We're going to do better. It's going to be different this year, but it won't be long unless there's something to really alter you that you'll be back just like you've always been. I tell you what, you're going to have something from the outside come into you. You can't do it. It's not in man to seek after God. Preacher, my heart's right. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible said your heart is exceedingly wicked, desperately wicked, and who can know it? Who knows your heart? God knows your heart. Friend, if you and I were able, if there was anyone that was able, then God sent his son in mistake. You're not able. I'm not able either. Could I ask you this? Let's think that the meal was Lazarus in the tomb. Can Lazarus, that's in the tomb, and his sister said, Lord, by now he stinketh, can Lazarus do anything to get himself up? Can Lazarus do better? Can Lazarus live again? Can he do it on his own? What does it take? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes the Word of God. And friend, that Word of God rung inside that tomb and it got a dead man up. So it's going to take something alive, put in something that's dead, to have an effect. It is. See, we think that we're going to do better. You're not going to do better. You may do better for a week or two or a month or two, but you're going to fall right back into the same thing. But when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ moves in and you take hold of Him and you plant Him in your heart, and friend, you hide Him in your heart, and He begins to take over and you begin to grow, friend, I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to take over your garden. He's going to take over your life. He's going to take over your workplace. He's going to take over your marriage. He's going to take over your worship. He's going to take over what you think about church. He's going to take over everything. That's what real salvation looks like. So, the change or the transformation comes from an outside source that is placed within. So, we should be growing. I want to read a verse in Corinthians to go with this, I believe. Brother Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, he's talking about the law and about the gospel. He's talking about the law and the grace of God. He's talking about the law written on tables of stone and talking about the Word of God written on fleshly tables of the heart, influenced through and by the Holy Spirit. So I want to just look at maybe the last verse of this. So Paul says this, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed." Now, what are we looking into? We're looking into the Word of God. We're looking into the gospel. So today, it's not hid to us. I want to say today that Matthew chapter 13 and these three little verses that we tried to look at today, they're no longer hid. Today, we are beholding, and let me tell you what we're beholding. We're beholding ourselves as though looking in a glass. We are taking the Word of God, which is the mirror. We are taking the Word of God, and we are looking in the Word of God. And you know what I'm seeing when I look in the Word of God? I'm seeing me. I'm looking at me when I look in the Word of God. And this Word of God is becoming more and more influential in my life, and I am being changed to what I'm seeing in the Word of God. If my life is not being changed, friend, by what I'm seeing in the gospel, then I'll tell you this, I need to look and see if I'm really saved. Brother Paul says, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed under the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what's going on here? As I look into the Word of God, you know what it's doing? It's having a transforming effect on me. When Moses went up on the mount, our friend, and he came back off, I'll tell you that he had been in the presence of God, and everybody there could see that Moses' face was shining. You know what he did? That he had to put a veil over. Let me tell you this, friend, that there is no reflection as long as the veil's hanging down. I'll tell you what, if we can get rid of this veil right here, this flesh, let this take a second seat. Let this take a back seat. Let the Word of God and the power of God in our heart and life, let it overcome us. Let it become greater and greater in our life. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. When the veil is removed, they could see Moses' face. Should we be being transformed? If God lives in our heart, should we be being transformed? Paul says, we look into the Word of God. We look into the glass. Now, I want you to think about this and see if you would agree with me. I could take a mirror and I could go outside today and I could take the mirror and never look at the sun and burn my face. Would you agree? By the reflection that comes from the sun, comes into the glass, and comes on me, my countenance could be changed. So if this is the mirror, and God Almighty is shining on the mirror, and I'm looking in the mirror, then my countenance and my face and my life should be altered by what's coming from God to the mirror and reflected in me, on me. So let me ask you this. Is God shining on His Word? I believe we'd all agree God has, is, will continue to shine on His Word. If I'm not changed, my countenance not changed, it must be because I'm not looking in the mirror. If I were looking in the mirror and God is shining His Word, and let me tell you this, He's got it aimed wherever I am. He's got it aimed toward me. Wherever I am, it doesn't matter if it's 12, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 in the evening. God has got the sun and the Word of God. He's got the mirror in the right position to shine on me, to transform me, to change me, to make my countenance. Your pastor and whoever else might be a teacher or a preacher here, when you stand up before a congregation, you can see people's countenance. You can see whether they're with you, against you, for you, whether they're eating, whether they're spitting it out, whether they have any interest. You can see it by the countenance on their face. So, we should be growing if Christ lives within us. If I'm looking in the Word of God, now think about this, that mustard seed that that man planted in the garden, if that was never watered, would it grow? Not long, would it? So we have to be in the right environment. We have to be in the right climate and the right environment. We're going to have to keep the weeds pulled out. We're going to have to keep it watered. We're going to have to keep it to where the temperature's right. I'll tell you what we need. We need to be in the right place with the right people. We need to be in a climate where you and I can grow. I can't grow at the ball field and the flea market on Sunday morning. I can't grow, a friend, if I'm out doing whatever comes to my mind on Wednesday night. I cannot grow when I miss the service of God and the Word of God being preached and taught to my heart. I can't grow if I'm not in the right environment and the right climate. So here's a little picture of what being under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ looks like. Looks like a man who planted the least seed of all, and it overtook his garden. It overtook his field. It looks like a woman that took some... Now think about this. Here's a five-pound bag of flour. So big, right? You know what it looks like. And I got a pack of yeast that's this big, this thin, and when you open the top, you have to look down in the bottom to see what little bit of yeast is in there, and you pour it into that 5 pound of flour, and you stir it up with a little water, and it overtakes. Have we got the real thing? It'll overtake your life. He will, not it. He will. I'm thankful. He's an overcomer. He's an overpowerer. He's greater than I am. He's stronger than I am. He's more influential than I am. Greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. Who's greater? Do you tell your God what to do? Do you carry Him around and you bring Him out when you choose? I don't say that to be silly. I say that for us to really weigh out and see what we have. So, back to Corinthians for just one more thought and we'll quit. The Bible says, we look in the glass with an open face. This is not hid, folks. This is not hid. We're not looking in the veil. We're looking with an open face into the Word of God. In the glass, the glory of the Lord were changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God, you know what's going on? The Word of God enlightens me. And my form is altered by the enlightenment of the Word of God. My life is changed outwardly because of God's illumination through and by the Word in my heart. God illuminates in my heart what needs to be changed in my hands. Right? How can I continue to go on with dirty hands and dirty feet and a dirty life and say that God has illuminated my heart? That won't add up with the Word of God. Brother Roy, that's all that's on my heart. You come as you see fit. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today.
Would you please come to the piano, the organ, play whatever God puts on here. We have heard one of the most clear, beautiful pictures I've ever heard in my life. It's illuminated. I'll never forget it. Illustrations. God sent this man to you this morning and to me. Need not repeat any of it. Do you remember it? Would you stand? And you'll never have a more perfect opportunity to be obedient to the Spirit of God than right now. Because you know if you see it and God's pricked your heart if you're not saved or you're living like you shouldn't be living, you don't change, it's going to get really dim. How often will God keep pricking your heart? He don't have to do it ever again. He may. But now he has illuminated. He has quickened. Your heads are bowed. And I know what you're thinking. Well, if I go forth, what will somebody say? Who cares? Many people need to come right now. You'll never have a better opportunity. Whether it's salvation, whether it's something in your life, whether you just want to grow. Lord may have said, let me be like that tree in the field. I want you to take over my life, but I've been not in the right atmosphere. On, on, on. Be obedient to the Spirit of God. I promise you, you'll never have a clearer picture. Never. It's not possible. Because this is a clear picture. Brother Warren, thank you for preaching God's word as he gave it to you. It's clear. People are coming. Be obedient to the word of God. You know somebody like he's talking about? It may not be you. You have enough burden to come say, let me be a light to them. If you'll take over my whole life, Lord, when they see me, they'll see Christ. And we're not where we ought to be, folks. None of us. Why? Because the flesh is weak. We're prideful. We're not willing to be used. We're too afraid what someone's going to say or think. Or we're afraid to commit our life to him, afraid that he will take over. God help us. We'd better let him take over in this evil hour in which we live. Opportunity. Lord Jesus, we are blessed to have a word picture in our mind that we will never forget. Satan can't steal it away. Yes, we can refuse to admit it, but we're damning ourselves when we do. This is your word, your picture that you told yourself for us to see. And to measure up to your word. You won't change it. You want to water it down for us. It's a picture. Help us, Father, not mar the picture. Lord, how silly it would be if someone were to have an expensive painting in here, if someone would come up and deliberately mar it, cut it, bend it. And that's what we're doing when we refuse this picture. We need to thank you for it, and I do. Thank you for a man that preaches the word without compromise. Bless it. Bless him to your service. We thank you for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.